In this week's parasha, we have the problematic story of Shimon and Levi killing out the city of Shechem. But it actually, for halachic purposes, becomes the basis of a major dispute amongst the Rishonim, which emerges from their dispute in their understanding of why it was that Shimon and Levi were justified, if they were, in killing the people of Shechem. The Rambam in Perek Tet, Halacha Yudalet, of Hilchos Melachim, argues that the people of Shechem were liable for the death penalty because they'd violated the mitzvah of dinim. The Rambam writes that there are seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and there's a prohibition to eat Avram and Achai, to blaspheme God, to steal, a positive obligation to set up courts, an issur to kill, to worship, a prohibition to worship avodah zarah, and a prohibition to commit certain types of incest and adultery. The Rambam argues that the mitzvah of dinim, of setting up courts, is really a mitzvah to enforce the other six. And therefore he says that non-Jews have an obligation to set up a court system to enforce the other six mitzvahs. And since the Gemara says in several places that the penalty for violating one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach is the death penalty, for all of them, the penalty is hereg, is beheading. Therefore, anyone who violates one of these seven mitzvahs is subject to the death penalty. On that basis, the Rambam argues that Shimon and Levi were justified in killing out the people of Shechem, because since Shechem had gone and he'd kidnapped Dina, so he'd violated either Gzela or the incest laws, or combination, whatever it might, the laws of promiscuity, whichever one it is, but he violated that law, and therefore he was subject to the death penalty. And since his city didn't censure him, they violated their obligation to set up courts, and therefore they were liable to the death penalty, and that's why they were killed. The Kesef Mishnah here, though, notes, and he quotes the Ramban in that pasuk in Bereishis, who argues that it's not the case. And he argues that no, dinim is not simply an obligation to set up a court to impose and enforce the other six mitzvahs. In fact, it is a positive obligation to set up a legal system that fills in the gaps where the other mitzvahs leave off. The Ramban goes so far as to say that the mitzvah of dinim, the mitzvah to set up a court system, requires non-Jews to set up laws, not just of gzela and gneva, not just of theft, but also laws of shomrim, laws of what happens when someone borrows or guards someone else's property. And dinim is really a separate mitzvah, and there is no, well, obviously they are obligated to keep the Sheva Mitzvot, simply being derelict in your responsibility to enforce the other mitzvot is not a violation of one of the seven, and therefore does not carry with it the death penalty. Now, while the Ramban doesn't clarify whether when he says that non-Jews have to set up all the other laws, including things like Shomrim, laws of guarding and borrowing property, whether he in fact means that means they have to set up our laws. Right? They have to set up laws, but he doesn't clarify whether those laws look like those in the Torah, those we would find if you opened up Choshen Mishpat, or not. The simplest understanding of the Ramban is that they do not. However, the Rama, in his Tshuvos and Tshuva Yud, argues that in fact what the Ramban means, and he paskins this way, is that not only are non-Jews obligated to set up a monetary system, but in fact their monetary system has for the most part to look like that of the Torah. And if they don't do that, so then they're violating dinim, and right, that is, and that's how the Rama understands it. However you understand it, though, there are significant implications to this idea of dinim even for Jews. The Rashi points, there's a general machlokas amongst the Rishonim why it is that we are bound to keep the laws of the local government. Why we say dina de malchusa dina. Some think that it's because they have, that the government has the right to impose laws by virtue of the fact that we live here. And there are different possibilities, but Rashi in Gittin Daftet, and this is noted by Rav Asher Weiss as well in several places, notes that the simplest understanding for why it is that Jews are bound by the local laws is because the Torah commands the non-Jews to set up a legal system. And if the Torah commands them to set up a legal system, that means de facto the Torah recognizes their legal system. And if they recognize the legal system, that's why we are bound to keep it. So that's how Rashi understands the applications of the laws for us. Even though obviously we are obligated more than Shivas Bnei Noach, he thinks it's the basis of our obligation to keep the laws of the local land. Just a few other points on Dinim that are important to note. Well, the simplest understandings I noted from the Rambam is that the automatic punishment for not keeping Dinim is the death penalty. And in fact, the Gemara says that they don't need Hasra, they don't need to be warned, they're presumed to know what's wrong. Not all understood it that way. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, in an article that he put in a sefer that he wrote after one of his grandsons passed away, called Yosef Bini Chai, argues that it's not actually true that when they violate the Sheva Mitzvot, they are obligated to be put to death. It means that a non-Jewish court, when setting up a legal system, has the right to impose everything, including the death penalty, to enforce laws. But they could set up anything else, and therefore says that any government that we have, even that doesn't impose the death penalty, let's say for petty larceny, would in fact still be within the rubric of Dinim, because it's just saying that the upper limits of what they're allowed to impose when they set up their courts of the death penalty, but we're not actually endorsing that. And if you look, even though other people don't say this explicitly, other Achronim really do oppose the death penalty, which might imply that they hold something like this. Ramosha Feinstein, for example, had a tshuva, had a back and forth with a government official where he was asked by Rav Moshe Scherer, who was the head of the Aguda, to express a position paper to the government about whether the Jewish view was to endorse the death penalty or not, and actually wrote that it was not, and opposed the implementation of the death penalty, which may go in this similar direction of thinking that we don't actually think that the non-Jews have to impose death penalties. It's just a possibility that's open to them, but might not actually be something that we would encourage. Rabbi Hanan.